You're listening to Hardwired with Jeff Wickwire. Here's what's coming up in today's edition.
The danger of looking back. Something happened when he got into the promised land. Here he is, he's obeying God, he gets into the promised land, and what happens? A famine strikes. Suddenly he's in a famine, and there's no food anywhere. In the promised land, he was experiencing a dry time. So you ought not be shocked if you, in your walk with Christ, experience a dry time. You ought not say, well, this must not be real, or God has shortchanged me. No, God tests us in dry times.
When you experience rough patches in your life, where do you turn? Do you seek after God in all seasons of life, or do you only cry out to Him in times of desperate need? In today's message from Pastor Jeff, he shows you the power that is found in being on fire for God's kingdom. You can't approach God like a magic genie and only pray when you need help. Cry out to Him in all times and refresh your connection to Him. God delights in hearing from His children. Let God weather your toughest storms. Well, let's join Pastor Jeff in the book of Genesis chapter 11 as he begins his message, How Abraham Defeated Danger.
Genesis 11, 31 and 32 is the beginning of the call of Abram before he was Abraham. The call of Abram happened in Genesis 11, 31 to 32. And I want you to notice that it says that Terah, Abraham's father, was the one leading the way. Now, that's very, very important. I'm going to show you why in a minute. It was to Abraham that God's word came. It didn't come to Terah. It came to Abram. And God spoke to Abram, revealed himself to Abram, not his daddy. Now, when Stephen was preaching his last sermon on earth, and right before he was going to be stoned to death and become the first Christian martyr of the church, here's what he preached to all those angry, seething, furrow-browed Sanhedrin religious leaders. Here's what he said, brethren and fathers, listen. The God of glory appeared to our father, Abraham, when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran. And look what he said to him. And said to him, get out of your country and from your relatives. Catch that. Get out of your country and away from your relatives. Some of you would like this word. Get out of your country and from your relatives and come to a land that I will show you. Stephen preached that. Now, I want you to catch this. It's beautiful. Because our God is a sovereign God, a providential God, and our God is a God of surprises. God surprises us. How many of you would like for God to surprise you sometime soon? I think that's why we like Christmas, because we're going to get surprises, right? We should. When I was a kid, I was famous for getting into the gifts sometime during the week when no one knew and taping them back where no one knew. I have very little surprises. But guess what? God brought a surprise to a man named Abram. God appeared in this idolatrous, godless city. It says the glory of the Lord appeared to a pagan man. That was Abram. He was not a man of God. He didn't know the real God. He was an idolater, an idol worshiper. And God appeared to him out of the blue, surprised him. A pagan named Abram saw the glory of the Lord. The Lord revealed himself to him. Now, we don't know in what way, but Stephen said the God of glory appeared. The Greek really reads the glory of the Lord appeared. The glory of the Lord appeared to Abram. We don't know how he appeared, if he appeared visually, if he appeared in his hearing. We don't know how he appeared, but he made himself so manifest that it was undeniable that a God that Abram had never known, wasn't taught about, had revealed himself to him. And in that visitation, God had one word to say to Abram. Listen carefully to this. Get out of here so I can bless you there. Get out of this place so I can bless you in another place. Do you know what? When God first appears to you and to me, his word is almost always come out so you can come in. Get out of here so I can take you there. Get out of this cursed place so I can take you to a blessed place. God is a God who calls us out. As a matter of fact, I was thinking today that Abram was called out of three different places in the Bible. He was called to leave Ur. He was called to leave Egypt. and he was called to leave Haran, as we're going to see in a minute. Ur was his past, Egypt was the world, and Haran was his compromise. He was called to come out of his past, called to come out of the world, and called to come out of his compromise. So God said, get out of here. God's saying that to some of you right now somewhere in your life. Get out of here. Get out of this place. Get out of here so I can bless you there. He never takes you out and leaves you in a vacuum. He takes you out so he can take you in. And whatever he takes you into is far better than what you came out of. I'm going to say that again because some of you got it here but not here yet. He takes you out of a bad place to bring you to a good place. Our God is not a divine tease. He calls us out to call us in. He calls us out of being cursed into being blessed. He calls us, but we've got to be willing to follow him out of our past, out of the world, and out of compromise. Now, here's what I see here. He says to Abram, you come out, and you leave your relatives and your daddy here. But Abram's father, Terah, was clearly persuaded and influenced and affected by Abram's vision. So Terah took it upon himself to lead the family out. So here's Abram following somebody out who God told him to leave there. The Bible reveals that God didn't tell him, hey, grab your dad and grab Lot and grab your family and leave. The Lord has said to Abraham, leave your native country, leave your relatives, leave your father's family, and then go to the land that I will show you. Leave your relatives, leave your father. That means leave your father here. Abraham didn't do that. He disobeyed God. He took his daddy and he took Lot, both of whom greatly troubled him in his journey of faith. You could say he carried dead weight with him. He carried, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, but he carried baggage with him that God told him to leave behind. You know, the Bible says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us. There's weights and there's sins. A weight may not be sin, but it's something that holds you down and hinders you and pulls you and is a drag on your spirit. Terah was a weight and Lot was a weight. Now, Abraham didn't do it. He took those two. And what we're going to see today is it matters who you travel the king's highway with. Oh, does it matter? It matters who you travel the king's highway with. No wonder the Bible says, come out from among them and be you separate. No wonder the Bible says, what fellowship does light have with darkness? Does Satan have with Christ? What fellowship? Let me give you a spiritual reality check. Let me tell you the truth of what's happening. When God wants to bless you, he puts a person in your life. But when Satan wants to destroy you, he puts a person in your life. You know why they both do it? Because they both understand the power of relationship. They know that the devil knows if he can sow the wrong person into your life, he can stop you. He can hinder you. He can thwart you. He can discourage you. He can sully you. And God knows if I can get the right person into your life, I can bless you. I can bring you up higher. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. If I can get you with the right person, they will take your hand and make you go down that highway of glory and of obedience faster than you would have. They will assist you and help you and hold you up and hold your hands up. It matters who you walk down the king's highway with. Now, I see three dangers that Abraham encountered on his journey of faith. And they're the very dangers that we encounter in our journey of faith. And we're all on one today. We've all left Egypt. And we're all headed towards Canaan. This is a beautiful, just when you read about Abraham and his journeys, it's just a physical metaphor of a spiritual truth. We're called out of Ur, our past, and we're called to go to Canaan, the promised land. For us, the promised land is the kingdom of God and ultimately heaven. So we're on a journey from A to Z, from here to there, and we're all in the middle of the race. And there are dangers in that race, and I see three in Abraham's. First, he encountered the danger of looking back. The danger of looking back. Something happened when he got into the promised land. Here he is, he's obeying God, he gets into the promised land, and what happens? A famine strikes. Suddenly he's in a famine, and there's no food anywhere. In the promised land, he was experiencing a dry time. So you ought not be shocked if you, in your walk with Christ, experience a dry time. You ought not say, well, this must not be real, or God has shortchanged me. No, God tests us in dry times. God strengthens us in dry times. We learn to get into the Word and into prayer in dry times. David said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, because before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now that I've been afflicted, oh, now I keep your word. A famine struck. And you know what Abraham did, the man of faith, the father of our faith? You know what he did when he was still Abram? He said, we better get out of here. We better go to Egypt. And the Bible says that they went down to Egypt. Anytime you return to Egypt, which is always in the Bible a picture of the world, you are going down, not up. When you go back to Egypt, back to that world, back to those old friends, those old ways, those old habits, those old hangouts, you're never going up. You're going down to Egypt. And can I tell you the truth about that place, that world out there? She is a cruel mistress. That world out there will hug you, caress you, say sweet nothings in your ear, call to you. At first will seem to bless you, but then her face changes. And you find that that world will throw you into the street and shut the door in the freezing cold and leave you to die. But there is another one who won't ever do that. His name is Jesus. When you get into a famine, you seek the Lord. You go to the Lord. You turn to the Lord. Because he won't ever walk out. As a matter of fact, when everybody else walks out, he walks in. He's your friend that sticks closer than a brother. But Abram was learning faith. He was learning to walk with this brand new God he'd never known until out of the blue he appeared to him in Ur of the Chaldees. So he's learning. Now, he made two mistakes when he decided to go down to Egypt. Here's the first one. He decided that Egypt, the world, was the place that would provide for him and protect him, not God. So he looked to the world for provision and protection. When God has said, I am your Jehovah Jireh. I am your provider, and I am Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is always ever present. I am ever there. I am right there. I'm next to you, above you, below you, around you. I've enveloped you. You can't get away from me. I'm there. But he forgot about that God, or he didn't trust that God enough, and he went down to Egypt. You know what happened in Egypt? Nothing but catastrophe after catastrophe. He almost lost his wife. He lost his testimony. He lost his walk with God. But there was an even bigger mistake than not trusting God. He didn't seek the Lord about his decision. He didn't ask God, okay, Lord, it's a famine. Wow, I'm in a real tough spot here. It's dry. It's arid. It's really difficult right now. He didn't say, what do you want me to do? He panicked and said to Sarah, babe, not really. I'm going down to Egypt. Let's go. And she went. We don't find Abraham one time asking God what to do. You know what you do when you're in a famine? You ask the Lord who sees and knows what you're in, knows what you're experiencing, and won't condemn you. What do I do, Lord, in this time of famine? And you know what the Lord promises in the Bible? Even in the time of famine, he will provide for you. In the time of famine, he will come through for you. Listen, no devil in hell, no flesh on earth can keep God's provision away from you. When God decides to get it to you, he's going to get it to you. And he will get it to you. Just ask Elijah, who had room service from a raven for a year at the side of a brook. A raven brought him meat and food twice a day, and he wasn't charged taxes and he wasn't charged a bill. It was given to him by God. When God wants to provide, God will provide. But it's our danger as well. Have you noticed that it's in the times of famine that we make bad decisions? Let me give you a principle. Never make a major decision when you're discouraged or when you're weary. Don't make a major decision. When you're discouraged or when you're exhausted, don't make a major decision. The only decision to make is, I'm going to draw near to him. I'm going to come. Listen, those that wait upon the Lord, that's a Hebrew. The word wait there comes from a Hebrew word that means to wrap yourself around. Those that literally grab hold of God and won't let go. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary, walk and not faint. Old men will outrun young men if they're waiting on the Lord. Because here's what happens when you get into a time of famine. Satan will seek to exploit what you're going through. And he swoops in, and in that little voice that he uses and disguises often as your own thinking, Satan says, well, where is God? God doesn't care about you. And what happened to the power of prayer? You've asked for help and nothing is here. Why don't you just turn back and re-enter the world? Anytime you hear that voice that says, go back to the world, the old habits, the old ways, you can know where that's from. He's the liar and the father of lies, and the way you know Satan is lying as if he's talking. But here's Abraham. He's made terrible mistakes. He's lost his testimony, almost lost his wife, lied about her being his sister. He turned to lying and everything else in Egypt, but he realized the error of his ways, and he returned. He returned. So even though he looked back, he didn't stay back there. Now let me ask you a question before I go on. Are you back in the world in any area of your life? Have you returned to the world? Are you looking to the world? It can be a person, it can be a place, it can be a thing. Are you looking to the world to provide for you and protect you when only God can do that? If you are, God is using me right now to lovingly call you out of Egypt. Come out. He called Abraham out, and he's calling you and me out. Now, here's a second danger I see, the danger of standing still. Now, here's where it gets interesting. We read in our text, we already read it, let me read it again. Terah took his son Abram. Look at Terah leading. His grandson Lot and his daughter-in-law Sarah, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. Canaan is in their focus. Canaan is in their line of view. Canaan is their goal. But it says, but when they came to Haran, they stopped and they settled there. Now, listen carefully to me. Haran is more than a physical location Abraham stopped in. There are people here today that are in their own Haran. Haran is a place of compromise. Haran is a place where we say, you know, that is a one long journey I'm looking at, so I'm just going to take a pit stop into Haran. And you pull off and you take a detour, and that detour becomes permanent. Notice, first they stop there, then they pitched tent there, then they built a house there and started raising children there. Before you knew it, they had settled there. How many people start and never finish? How many people come out of Ur of the Chaldees, the world, say, Jesus, come into my heart, and they head for the promised land, they head to Canaan, and they don't make it? They take a pit stop in Haran, and there they stay. They never reach their full potential in God. They never reach the end. They never come into the fulfillment of their real destiny. I like what Paul said. He said, not that I have already gotten there, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching for what lies ahead, I press toward the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He said, I've not gotten there yet. I haven't reached the end yet. I haven't broken the tape at the end yet. But guess what? This one thing I do, I'm forgetting what's back there, and I am reaching forward to what is ahead of me, and I intend to fully, fully obey God and break the tape and do the will of God. So we see Abram, they're headed to Canaan, and he stops and he settles for. I could rename Haran settle for. He settled for less than God's best. He settled for less than God's will. He settled for. First reason he did it was disobedience. He disobeyed God. We've already gone over that. He disobeyed God. He allowed his attachment to his daddy to co-opt his obedience to God. And boy, did he pay a price. Did he pay a price? And you say, well, Jeff, why would God tell him to leave his daddy? That's easy. His father was an idolater. And God did not want Abram dragged down by somebody who was still worshiping the moon. So he said, leave him behind. I'm calling you to a better place. I'm calling you onward, upward, and forward. You're going to have to leave some things behind if you're going to get what is ahead. You're going to have to say goodbye to some things to say hello to some things. And that's the way it always is with God. Abram allowed his attachment to his father to take precedence over God's word. Rather than following the call of God, Abram followed Terah to Haran, and he allowed him to be in charge of the journey, not God. So because of his attachment to Terah, Abram stood still and didn't advance in the call of God. And just like Abram stayed in Haran until his father died, we also, folks, can be detoured into our own Haran in order to please friends or family. And you're not going to hear messages like this in a lot of churches. A lot of churches won't touch anything that requires a little bit of suffering or sacrifice or pain. But you know what? That's not what Jesus taught. Jesus told us the truth. Are you ready for this? Let me give you a hard saying of Jesus. He said, if you want to be my disciple, you must hate everyone else by comparison. And then he told us who he meant. Your father, your mother, your wife, your children, your brothers, your sisters, and even Almighty you. And then he said, otherwise, you cannot follow me. You know why? Because not everybody's going to go where you go. A lot of people aren't going to understand your walk. So here you are, you're obeying God, you're going on with God. You got somebody right here. Say, what are you doing? Let's just take a pit stop into Haran. What are you doing? This is what happened with him and Terah. Terah said, let's stay in Haran. And Abraham was torn between a rock and a hard place. The rock being the will of God, the hard place being his daddy. And he went the wrong way. He said, okay, Dad, I'll stay in Haran. And you know how long he stayed? He stayed until his daddy died. And he chose to stay until he buried his father. When Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. You follow me. Now, here's Jesus' whole point, that if a relationship is holding you back from going on with God, you always choose God over that relationship. Because the enemy knows the power of connection. And he knows if he can get you good and connected to the wrong person, it's extremely difficult to break away and obey God. That's why I say to all of you singles, be careful who you hook up with, who you decide to go out with. Check them out. Run a legal check on them. Find out if they're telling you the truth. You think I'm joking about that, don't you? I'll give you the web address to do it. Because the enemy will give you, listen, the enemy, you know what terror is? Wheat and tare. A tare looks just like wheat until it's full grown. You can't tell the difference between wheat and a tare until it's full grown. Jesus said wheat and tare grow up together all the time, and you can't tell the difference till they're full grown. So you got to pray for discernment. You need that Superman vision, looking through them and finding out who they are. Because if the enemy can plant the wrong person in your life, it's so hard to walk away and obey God. But if the Lord can get the right person in your life, oh, what a blessing they are. Kathy has never held me back from the will of God. She has never held me back from following the Lord. She's always amen me. Now, there was a season when she was pregnant. I mean, she was pregnant. We got a call to go to East Texas and start a church, our very first church. Very first church. So we're driving down there. I had a little stick shift car. We're driving down there to East Texas. Population in this town, a total of 1,600. More people in this church than in this town. It was my first church, and we're driving down there. And what was it we got contrary about? Whether or not we were going to move down there. Because you see, there was no mall. Uh-oh.
Have you ever experienced droughts in your walk with Jesus? Have you ever felt close to God, and yet your circumstances are dire? In today's message from Pastor Jeff, he showed us the power of God's endless grace. Even when you're at your lowest and feel like God isn't hearing you, He has never left your side and will be there to weather the storm. Never give up on God and let Him take your burdens. He is always working everything for your good. Here's Diane with some more info about Hardwired.
Are you interested in partnering with us here at Hardwired? We'd love for you to come alongside us in supporting this ministry. All you have to do is text 817-484-4767 and enter the word GIVE to donate. That number once more is 817-484-4767 and text GIVE. Thanks so much for prayerfully considering this today. and thanks for listening. Daniel has more to tell you about what's ahead on the upcoming edition.
Who do you choose to surround yourself with? Are the influences in your life building you up, or are they slowly tearing you away from the heart of Jesus? Find the answers to change your life like never before in Pastor Jeff's next message. One of the most important things in your faith journey is maintaining healthy, godly relationships. The more you slip into the ways of the world, the less connected to Jesus you'll be. Never lose sight of His calling for your life. That's all we have for today's edition of Hardwired with Jeff Wickwire. If you'd like a copy of today's message, you can download it from our website, hardwired.org. Be sure to tune in again as Pastor Jeff continues teaching through the book of Genesis next time on Hardwired.